Before we open God's holy word this morning, let's turn to him in prayer. Truly, O loving, merciful Heavenly Father, it is with thankfulness that we gather, assemble ourselves here together in the house and this morning, where we can put aside the cares, the concerns, the tasks of this life, and be found here with thy word in front of us, and gather together with those who also love thee and love thy word. And Father, we recognize just how blessed we are. We also recognize that we are prone to take this for granted. We are prone to forget at times how blessed we are. And Father, we ask that thou wouldst remind us in this day and each and every time that we would gather just how blessed we are to have this privilege to look into thy word together, where no one or nothing is hindering us, and we can gather here freely. And we ask, Father, that thou wouldst provide for each and every one of us in this morning what we need to hear, for we trust and believe that thou art able to do that, because thou art holy, thou art just, thou art high and lifted up in heaven above, looking down upon us with grace in this day. And we ask that thou wouldst help us to be humble in this day, to be teachable, that we look into thy word and see our imperfections, and that we would be drawn closer unto thee through repentance and through submission unto thee and unto thy will. For this we do pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. With God's help in this morning, I'd like to turn and read from the Gospel according to John and read chapter number 9, the entire chapter. The Gospel according to John, chapter number 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. May God bless the reading of this. In the previous chapter that we did not read, John chapter 8, Jesus explains who he is. He explains the mission that he came to this earth to fulfill. He speaks in John chapter 8 that he is the light of the world. He speaks in John chapter 8 and shows his divinity, shows that he is truly from heaven, which the Jews rejected. They rejected that teaching. They mocked him and they said, Thou art not even 50 years old and you say that you have seen Abraham. And Jesus says, Before Abraham was, I am, showing who he is. He has truly come from heaven. And it says at the end of John chapter 8 that the Jews took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple and going through the midst of them and so passed by. So in John chapter 8, he describes who he is, what he has come to do. We pick up the reading in John chapter 9, the continuation of John chapter 8, where Jesus shows in his works, in his deeds, that what his claims were in the previous chapter are true. He is showing those claims are true, and he's putting them to action. And we pick up the reading in John chapter 9, where Jesus passes by with his disciples, and they see a man that was blind from his birth. He was born blind, and he was begging. We read later in the chapter that he was begging. He was a poor man, was blind from his birth, and Jesus passes by this man with his disciples, and the disciples ask him a question. Jesus' disciples ask him a question, Who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin? What is the reason? They're wondering, what is the reason that he was born blind? Was it because of his own sin or the sin of his parents? And I find that interesting that they would even consider the fact that he might have sinned and been born blind, because what sin can a baby do? What sin can an unborn child commit? We know that there is no sin that a baby can commit. If a baby passes away, there is only but one destination that baby can go to, and that is to be with the Lord, because that baby is pure, clean, free from sin. So it's interesting here that the disciples would even entertain the thought that this man could have somehow sinned and been born blind, or even likewise that his parents might have sinned. Maybe, I can't speak to this, but maybe it was a common belief among the Jews that somehow a parent could sin, and then that sin could somehow be passed onto their children. But regardless, Jesus answers, and he said, no, this man has not sinned, nor have his parents sinned. But he said basically that he was born blind so that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This man was born blind for this very moment. This man was born blind so that Jesus could pass by, and that this man could be given his sight, and so that God could be glorified. This is the ultimate reason that this man was born blind. That's the words of Jesus. And that has to be our mindset too. Anytime some weakness, some infirmity, some frailty of the flesh, some disease comes upon us, we must think this infirmity, this trial, has been given to us so that God would be glorified, so that his works would be made manifest in us. We know that it is not always God's will that we would be made whole, that we would be healed of some physical ailment, some physical disease. But we must look at any disease that we or our children or our friends have and think the ultimate goal of this should be to bring God glory. And that is not possible by ourselves. By ourselves, we would always pray for healing, and we would maybe get discouraged or upset or blame God when we don't get healing, or when our children, when our friends don't get healing. We can get angry and we can question why. Why has God done this work? We must always have that mindset that God would be glorified. And that mindset, that attitude, is only possible if we are living in him, if we are abiding in Christ, seeking his will, seeking that his will would be done in our lives. So Jesus here again says, no, there is no sin that has been committed. That is not the reason this man was born blind, but he has been born blind. Basically, he's saying for this very moment, for I must work the works of him that sent me. And that is what Jesus said in the previous chapter. Again, John chapter 8, Jesus is explaining why he came. He came to do the will of his Father. He came to do the works of him that sent him. And Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, that's a theme that Jesus spoke in the previous chapter. He explained that he is the light of the world. And that light had to shine. While Jesus was in the world, he was the light of the world. He had to be the light of the world. There's nothing else that he could have done other than shine forth his light, shine forth his goodness, so that men would praise the Lord, that men would turn their lives over into him. He had to shine. There was no other alternative but that Jesus would let this light of the world shine forth. And that made me think of the disciples when they were preaching after Jesus had died and arisen from the dead and went back to heaven. His disciples were left here in this earth to preach of this gospel, to preach of this light, the light of the world. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were speaking boldly. They were speaking of Christ, and the Jews did not like this, of course. It says that there were priests, there were captains of the temple, there were Sadducees, rulers of the Jews, and they were upset that the disciples were speaking the words of Christ. They were upset that they were preaching about him. And it says that these Jews commanded Peter and John that they would no longer teach or speak at all in the name of Jesus. But in Acts chapter 4 we read, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, whether you think it's more important that we listen to you or that we listen to God, you can decide for yourselves. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were not afraid of the threatenings. They were not afraid of the warnings that they got from the Jews. They said, we can't help it. We must speak the words, the things that we have seen and heard. We must speak those things. So as Jesus had to be the light of the world, as he had to let that light shine, so his disciples carried that on. They had to speak of those things which they have seen and heard. They saw no other option. They saw nothing else to do other than to spread this truth that Jesus had left with them. So we continue here in John chapter 9, and it says that Jesus goes to this man, and he spits in the ground, and he makes clay of this mixture of his spit and the clay. He makes clay, and he anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He rubs this on his eyes, and he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And this blind man went. He went on his way. We could imagine he was maybe stumbling as he went. He stumbled his way to the pool of Siloam, and he washed. He listened to Jesus. He had faith. And this man came up seeing, and Jesus was no longer with him. Jesus was no longer with him at this point. And this man that was blind was now seeing. And it says that the neighbors, those that were around him, they knew this man was blind. And they questioned, is this truly him that sat and begged? Is this the blind man? And they had a disagreement. Some said, yes, this is him. This is the man that was blind. And others said, well, it looks like him, but we don't think it's truly him. And there's a disagreement there. And the Jews that were around him, they asked him, how are thine eyes opened? And we read further on in the chapter that they were not truly wondering how his eyes were opened, because as soon as this man answers, as soon as this man says that Jesus made clay and he anointed my eyes and he told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed and I received sight. As soon as this man explained to the Jews what had happened, how he had received his sight, it says that they brought him to the Pharisees. So they were not truly wondering, they were not truly curious how this man had received his sight. They were rather trying to ascribe some blame to Jesus right away. They're right away trying to get at Jesus. They're right away found in unbelief. They're right away found rejecting Jesus and his teachings. And they bring him to the Pharisees. And it's noted here that it was a Sabbath day that Jesus had done this, that Jesus had made the blind man to see. And the Pharisees, the Jews brought him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees ask again the same question, how did you receive your sight? And the man repeats what had happened. He explains the events. And the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. The Pharisees saw the miracle. They truly saw that this man was blind, and now he was seeing. That could not be rejected, that could not be spoken against. It was truth. It was evident to all those that were around. It was evident to the Pharisees. And yet they were so hardened in their own rules, they were so hardened in their own following of their own rules of the Sabbath day that they set forth. They thought, because this man is not listening to our truths, our teachings, because of this, he cannot possibly have made this man to see. That's how hardened their hearts were. And they asked this blind man, they asked him, what do you think of him? What do you think of this Jesus that you claim opened your eyes? And this man doesn't reject him. This man says he is a prophet. This man had belief. Of course, the man had faith because he went to the pool of Siloam and he washed. If he didn't have any faith, if he didn't believe that he could have received his sight, he wouldn't have went at all. But he says he is a prophet. And what an understatement that is. Yes, Jesus is spoken of in the Old Testament. It is said that a prophet would arise. A prophet would arise from among the children of Israel, and that the world would look unto him and be saved. So yes, he is a prophet, but he is more than a prophet. And we know that is what Jesus said of John the Baptist. He asked the people, when they went to go see John the Baptist, Jesus asked, what did you go out to see? Did you go out in the wilderness to see a prophet? I say unto you, more, much more than a prophet. And that is what Jesus is. He is a prophet, but he is much more than a prophet. And yet this man, again, had belief. He was bold here speaking with the Jews, as the Jews here called Jesus a sinner for not following their prescribed method of worship on the Sabbath day. This man was not afraid. He spoke boldly of what Jesus had done for him. And it says that the Jews did not believe this. They did not believe that Jesus had opened the man's eyes, and it says they even doubted that he was born blind. They thought, okay, maybe this man's making up this story. Because we see that it's evident that he now sees, maybe he's lying, and maybe he was born with his sight. So it says that the Jews, the Pharisees, called his parents, and they asked his parents, is this truly your son? Was he truly born blind? And his parents says, yeah. His parents say, yes. He was born blind, and yes, this is our son. So as throughout many times in Scripture, we see that the Jews in their own reasoning, their own ways of trying to go against the teachings of Jesus, it always backfired consistently. Any plan that the Jews made up to catch Jesus in his words, any plan that the Jews made to get another testimony of him that would contradict his own words, everything backfired. And that's what we see here. His parents confirm, yes, this is our son, and yes, he was born blind. They were confirming the words of their son. And the parents go on and they say, we don't know how he received his sight. He is of age. He's old enough. Ask him. And it says that his parents spoke this way because they feared the Jews. For it had already been decided by the Jews that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Anyone that would confess that Jesus is the Christ would be essentially excommunicated from the synagogue. And that is something that his parents feared. This man was born blind and he was begging. He was begging for any sustenance, any food, any money that he could possibly get to survive. We know that must have meant that his parents were also very poor. They could not have possibly helped him. If they could have helped him with some kind of monetary means, they would have. But they were also poor. So we think we can understand here the fear of this man's parents. All they had was probably their membership of the synagogue, and they were afraid to lose that. And they testified, yes, he was born blind, but we don't know how he received his sight. Go ask him. Again, a little bit different from this man's boldness. This man had nothing to be afraid of. He knew what had happened to him. He spoke boldly of Jesus. Again, a little bit different than his parents. But after that had been confirmed, after it had been confirmed that this man was truly born blind, the Pharisees returned to this man. They said, give God the praise. Give God the praise only, for we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. We know that it is not possible that Jesus is the reason that you were made to receive your sight. They were convinced, again, because Jesus did not follow the Sabbath day practice as they had set it forth, that it was not possible that Jesus was the reason this man had received his sight. Maybe they thought that Jesus was a test. Maybe they thought that Jesus was a test from God of their faith. Maybe the Jews thought God was testing them to see if they would truly believe in Christ, and they were here rejecting him. They were rejecting him because he did not follow their own rules. And this man had a perfect answer. He said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. It's evident to me. It's evident to me that I was blind and now I see. And they ask him again, how did he open your eyes? How opened he thine eyes? They already asked him that before. And now he's asking them, why are you asking me this again? You've already asked me. I've already given you an answer. Do you also want to be his disciples? Do you also want to be his disciples as I am trying to be his disciple? And those words cut. They cut deep. And the Pharisees reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. For we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. That's consistent with the behavior of the Jews. They thought themselves to be something because they were the descendants of Abraham. They thought that they were something because of their lineage. They thought that they were above others. They thought they had some kind of spiritual pride about them, which is what Jesus tells us not to have. Jesus told the Jews, don't think that you're something because you're the children of Abraham, because God is able of stones. God is able to take stones and create children of Abraham. So don't think of yourselves as something. But the Jews here were blinded. They were spiritually blinded. They couldn't see what Jesus had done. And the man that had received his sight said, this is a marvelous thing. This is a marvelous thing because you here are the leaders of the Jews. You here are the leaders of God's people. You claim to be the leaders of God's people. And you don't even know where this man Jesus is from. You don't even know where he's from. You don't even believe in him. Yet he has opened my eyes. It's a marvelous thing that you claim to be. He's basically saying it's a marvelous thing that you claim to be God's chosen. And yet you have no idea where this man comes from that has opened my eyes. And this man continues and he says, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And that's consistent with the Old Testament teaching. If we are hearkening unto God, if we are obedient unto him, if we are seeking to submit ourselves unto his will and we pray to him, God would hear our prayers. That's something that's consistent in the Old Testament and the New. And this man saying Jesus could not possibly be a sinner. He could not possibly be an unrighteous man, that God would use him to open my eyes. He was convinced that Jesus was truly from God, as Jesus had spoken. And he says that since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This was never heard of before. It was never heard of in human history that someone was born blind and had now received his sight. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. We see the boldness the boldness that this man is here speaking with. And the Pharisees answered and say unto this man, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They excommunicated him. And this goes back to the beginning of the chapter where the disciples asked Jesus, did this man sin somehow, or did his parents sin that he was born blind? And again, that might have been a thinking, I'm not sure, that might have been a thinking, a teaching of the Jews, because the Pharisees here say to this man, thou wast altogether born in sins. You were born in sins, and you're going to teach us? So somehow they thought that they were not born in sins. They thought that this man's birth was different than theirs. They thought that they were exclusive, that they'd lifted themselves up above this man. And they cast him out, which is what his parents were fearing. His parents were fearing that they would be cast out, and they cast this man out. And then Jesus finds him. Jesus finds this man that he had given his sight, and he asks him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And this man answers and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And the man answers and he says, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This man had been born blind. Jesus had given him his sight. That was not deniable. This man knew that to be true. And he had never seen Jesus before. Remember when Jesus went and washed, when this man washed in the pool of Siloam, he came up and received his sight. Jesus was not there with him. But Jesus seeks this man out and he asks him, do you believe on me? I am the Son of God. What I am saying is true. Do you believe on me? And this is the first time that this man had ever seen Jesus. His eyes were now opened. He could now see with his physical eyes. And the first time that he lays his eyes on Jesus, he worships him. The appropriate response. What Jesus had done for him, healing him, receiving his sight from Jesus, he thought, yes. He was convinced, this is the Son of God. And he worshiped him. And Jesus continues and he says, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And Jesus says multiple times in Scripture that he has not come to judge the world. He has not come to judge the world, but he has come to save the world. So why here would Jesus be saying, for judgment I am come into this world? Why would he be saying, I'm coming to judge the world, when other times he said he's not? And I believe the answer is in earlier in the book of John. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 17, we read, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So I believe that that is the answer here. That is how Jesus can say, for judgment I am come into this world. I am come into this world. I am the light of the world. I am making that evident here with my actions. I am opening the eyes of this man that was born blind. Now, the response of the people that saw this miracle would determine their judgment. They were choosing for themselves their judgment. And that's the case for us as well. Do we read the words of Jesus? Do we read the things of the things that he did? And do we believe on him? Do we believe that he was sent from God? Do we believe that Jesus was the Son of God? That his blood washes away our sins? Do we believe that with our whole heart? If so, we are not condemned. But if we don't believe, if we don't believe in Jesus, if we don't believe these words, if we don't take them to our hearts, then we are judged already. We are basically, Jesus is saying, we are basically judging ourselves. We are deciding our judgment. God's judgment is pure, it's holy, it's righteous. No one will be able to say at the judgment anything contrary to God's judgment. It is perfect. But we basically decide that judgment. We decide what we want. Just as the Jews here, some of them were convinced, some of them were persuaded, and some of them were not. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came that we would believe on him. He came that we would have faith in him. Because without faith, we read in the Bible, it is impossible to please God. And it says that some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Because Jesus here is saying, I came into the world that the blind would see and that those that see would be made blind. He came to switch things, to switch those things up. And the Pharisees were saying, Are we among the blind or are we among those that see? And Jesus explains to the Pharisees that you say, we see. The Pharisees were saying, we see. The Pharisees were saying, we understand God. We understand his workings. We understand who God is. And because they were saying that, they were made blind. Because in their ignorance, they were saying that they understand God and his ways, they were made blind. And those that were blind can now see. Is that not true for us as well in this day? Jesus has come to do a much greater miracle than to make this man see physically. We can look at this and understand the words that were spoken here. It was not ever heard before in the world that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. This was truly a miracle. The first time this had ever been done. We can read of this miracle and we can think this is so great. And yet, Jesus wants to do something even greater than that in our hearts. He wants to open our spiritual eyes. Something that is also impossible without God. We are blind. We are blind when we do not see Jesus for who he is, when we do not worship him, when we do not fall on our knees and accept him as our Savior, as this man did. This man, the first time he laid eyes on Jesus, he had the appropriate response. He worshiped him. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do as well, to worship him, to accept him. They would be taken from our spiritual blindness and be made whole. They would be made to see. If I can find it quickly, I think of the words of that are written of the two that went to the village of Emmaus, where Jesus finds them. After Jesus had risen from the dead, there were two. We know the story, I believe, very well. There were two that were on the road to Emmaus, and the resurrected Jesus was speaking to them, and these men were speaking of the things that had happened in Jerusalem the past few days, and Jesus here speaks with them, and they did not know who they were speaking with. Here it is, the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 of Luke. Jesus here is speaking with them, and it says that speaking of these men, it says, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Their eyes were opened that they knew Jesus. They knew that this was him who they were just speaking of. These two men were walking, they were speaking of these marvelous things that had just happened. They were speaking how there was one Jesus who came into the world and who had died on the cross, and that the rulers of the Jews rejected him. They were speaking with him. And at one point, their eyes were opened, and they knew who Jesus was. And at that moment, Jesus vanished out of their sight. He was no longer with them. And after their eyes were opened, that they knew Jesus, they saw him with their physical and spiritual eyes, it says, they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Does our heart not burn within us when Jesus talks to us? When Jesus speaks to us and says, My child, come home. Come to bask in my light. I am the light of the world. Accept me. Accept me as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Does our heart not burn within us? We have that sweet fellowship with him. When we stray, when we wander away from him, when we do our own will, which is the natural tendency of each and every one of us, does our heart not burn within us when we have that fellowship with Christ, when he speaks to us and asks us, Child, come back to me? That is, again, the appropriate response, that our hearts would burn within us. So Jesus, as we've already mentioned, has come to do a far greater miracle. A far greater miracle, something that is impossible with men, and that is to open our spiritual eyes, that we would see our sin, that we'd see our sin and that we would feel shame. That we'd be ashamed of the things that we have done, that we'd be ashamed of the things that we have done against our Lord. When we feel that it was because of us that Christ was nailed there on the cross, it is because of us that he was spat upon, because of our sins. And when we feel that guilt, when we feel that shame, and when we do something about it, when we repent and confess our sins, that is when our spiritual eyes are opened. And that is what Christ is wanting to do with us in this day, to open us, to open our eyes, that we would see him for who he is, that we would accept him as our King and our Savior. May God bless his word in our hearts in this morning. Amen.
Dear friends, before we go into benediction, we would like to ask those that will be exiting from the wooden chairs, just leave the chairs there. We'll put them together later in order to minimize the noise that is created by folding those. Dear ones, we were reading about miracle of Jesus Christ. We heard about how impossible or how amazing was to open, impossible for our human understanding is what I meant, how amazing it was to open eyes of someone who was born blind, who never saw a thing in their life. And Jesus Christ was able to do that. And Jesus Christ did a lot of miracles, and apostles in his name did a lot of miracles that I'm sure we would love to see, assurance in a way to witness something that is defying physics, defying laws of science and so forth as we know it. Something that we don't see every day. Well, you have to understand, dear ones, that Jesus Christ, this was not only the only reason Jesus Christ came to this earth. Because all those that were healed, their eyes were open, they were raised from dead, they still end up dying. Lived on this earth, maybe 60, 70, 80 years, 90. They still end up dying. But we do witness some miracles, dear ones, when we see a lost soul, a sinner, come back to Christ. When we witness spiritual healing, it is more valuable. This is why Jesus Christ came for. This was his purpose. And we have it happening around us. Do we value it as such? Do we see it as a miracle or something that we just go over and maybe rejoice a little bit and then maybe see as a burden? There are many people that will never be healed in their lives, dealing with diseases, different things in their life that will never be healed. Maybe miracle is not going to happen over them. In song number 42, just want to read verse 3 and 4. This is what Jesus is calling us to come. And we have a choice. We can decide whether we're going to be part of that miracle or not. Come, let yourself be healed from sickness of transgression, ye sinners, great and small. Here only is remission. Therefore, this heavenly means of health and help embrace, and be merciful within God's holy pool of grace. But hasten, do not wait. For sin, your heart will harden. No balm or remedy can help save Jesus' pardon. The covenant messenger to cleanse us by his grace, as servant came that we might walk before his face. As servant came to that we can walk before his face. This is why he came. This is why he didn't come to this earth to show his. I don't want to minimize any of the miracles that happened that he. But as I mentioned, those people still got sick. Those people still died at the end. We're offered to partake of something that will never go away. And ours is to take it or leave it. Ours is to take it seriously or take it as a joke or as something that is not important is in our life. This is why Jesus came. And he's the only one who can pardon. He's the only one that can make that miracle in my life. but I will have to allow him to do that. May the Lord bless his words upon our hearts. Amen.